We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Throws a matching pass upfield. Reggie Town Fields gathers it in on a dead run and races all the way to score for Los Angeles. A 72-yard touchdown play.
First down inside his own five from his own end zone. Sacked and a safety on Rudolph. Aaron Donald and Clay Matthews got to him.
Inspired by the presence of Captain Jack Youngblood, playing in pain with his broken leg. A savage Ram defense.
They hand it to Steven. Great jump cut. 45.
Sends a whole burst through it. 20.
Steps to tackle. Runs left. 25. Still on his feet. 46 yards. Goal by number 39.
Running back number 29, Eric Dickerson.
Johnny Hecker, a high school quarterback, is going to throw. The fake is on it. He's got a first down to Stephen Bailey.
Mike Jones made the tackle, and the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
Rams Talk Radio with Derek Ciappala and Michael Stewart.
Welcome to Rams Talk Radio. This is Derek Ciappala on the show tonight with some great stuff. A couple really awesome guests. I have Davey Hudson from Believe in Titans and Fox Sports Nashville on to preview the Titans and Rams. And also from Mile High Sports, Danny Williams hosts their show from 9 to 11 a.m. We're here. He's going to tell me all about Von Miller. That's what I'm really excited about as well. This big week for Rams football all across the board. I am not in any place to keep you waiting. Right away, right now, let's get over to Davey Hudson to preview the game. Check it out. All right, folks, I am here with Davey Hudson from the Believe in Titans and Fox Sports Nashville. We're here to cover the Rams-Titans. Going to give you the best preview humanly possible. But before we do, we want to say hello. Hello, Davey. How you doing?
Hey, Derek. I'm doing well, man. Yourself?
Doing good. Doing good. It's midweek here. The buzz is starting to build for what, on our end, is a big game. We know this is a tough matchup on our end. I know that I've been nervous about this one for many reasons. And I'm very curious as to what your thoughts are about this match at Rams-Titans, Sunday Night Football. I guess that's the first place to start. Your overall feeling right now as you're getting midweek. I know you just lost Chris Henry. How you feeling? Derrick Henry.
It's one of those things, I wish I had a lot of answers for you, but in reality, it's kind of weird because this Titans team is one in which this offense has relied so much on Derrick Henry to be the focal point. And when I say be the focal point, that's even whenever he doesn't have the ball, he changes how defenses guard this team. I will say that I'm excited and I'm interested to see how this team performs without Derek on the field, because it's just going to be so new. And while, you know, it sucks to lose a player of that caliber, one is a fan of the team. I know fans are really upset and they're hopeful that he's able to get back after having surgery. But it remains to be seen, and so you're looking at it from, all right, well, it's time for guys like Ryan Tannehill, A.J. Brown. Where's Julio Jones been? Can they step up to the plate and help propel this offense to still playing at a high level? And the other thing that, of course, national media has kind of been talking about as of late is, well, the Titans with the run game, they went out and they got future Hall of Famer Adrian Peterson to come along and try to help bolster that run attack. It was one of those things looking, we just passed the trade deadline, so our Titans going to look to try to change up some of their personnel from we know that they're a run first team, but are they going to look to maybe go out, get another passing weapon and try to spread it out a little bit more in that department? It doesn't look like that's the case. Mike Vrabel said, you know, we have our identity and we're going to continue to run first, use that to develop the play action and go from there. But whenever it just comes from I know I'm rambling, but I'm excited about this game. And I think even though the Titans are having a massive setback when you look at what's going on the injury front, I think this team's going to be ready for the game. And I think it's going to be a great matchup for Sunday Night Football.
I mean, I'll be honest, 2 weeks ago when the Rams just had their issue with Detroit of all teams, I was thinking the Titans are in 2 weeks, they're going to destroy us. They're just a bad match. I mean, there's certain teams when they face each other, the matchups don't work. The Rams are struggling with stopping the run. They were struggling with dealing with just what teams are doing to them. Defenses across the board, offense across the board, one thing they need to do to the Rams is just dink and dunk. Death by a thousand paper cuts. Short pass here, run here, short pass here, run here, and they can keep the Rams' defense on the field. And losing Derrick Henry changes that dynamic. And then you add Von Miller to the mix out there for the Rams, and I have no idea how much he will play. The dynamic suddenly changed for me. And I thought this was going to be a blowout loss. Just the matchup was bad. Now I'm not so sure. When you're looking at the change in the dynamic, how are you viewing the game overall?
I still think it's going to be a game that it's still going to be high scoring. The Titans defense is as well have a lot of guys banged up. But I will say one of the things when you watch the Titans the last couple of weeks, what they've done a really good job of is eliminating the big play. And then it's the bend don't break style of defense that I often call it, because the teams are going to get their yards. Like Matt Stafford, like I'll be surprised if he doesn't have over 300 yards passing, but it's can the Rams execute whenever they get into the red zone. And as of late, the Titans have done a really good job of stopping teams when they get there. The most notable play, obviously, of the last couple of weeks was when Josh Allen was going for it on fourth and goal, or fourth and short, trying to get into the end zone there late to give the win to the Bills, and the Titans were able to manage to get a stop. The Titans held the Bills to 2 for 5 once the Bills got into the red zone. So can the Titans replicate that type of performance on the defensive side of the ball? They're looking to get a couple of their linebackers back this week. And so while their secondary has been banged up, the pass rush has been able to help out the secondary by just creating some havoc throws and just some errant passes. Now, can they get to Matt Stafford? Remains to be seen, but I would like to put my money on Harold Landry getting back there a couple of times. Bud Dupree has really been coming along. Titans got him and free agency via Pittsburgh. So what can the Titans do defensively there? Because I think even without Derek, the team's going to get creative on the offense side of the ball, and they're going to find a way to score. And now if you are looking for an area on the offense that I'm really concerned about right now, injury report came out, guard Nate Davis did not practice for the Titans. He's in concussion protocol, and their backups at that position have really struggled. And if you're struggling in a position, I can guarantee you the one guy you're not going to want to face is Aaron Donald. So he's going to be dominant no matter who he's going up against, but it's like, will he be able to take advantage if the Titans are having to play backups there? And if he is able to have his way, it could be a long day for the Titans offense. But it's just one of those things to where, and it's been like this a lot for the Titans so far, is they've had so many guys injured, it very is rare that we know exactly who the Titans are going to have available come game day. And so there's a lot of speculation, and at least it gives us here in the Titans country a lot to talk about. Like, well, at least if we know this guy's available, it's like, here's what we can expect. And the Titans at least have embraced the next man up mentality. But whenever it does come to having to go up against somebody like Aaron Donald, I really am curious to see. And I don't think the Titans will have a lot of success in stopping him if they're having to play backups at the guard position.
And so it sounds, just from our point of view, it also depends on how the officiating is when it comes to Don, because, I mean, he's held almost every play. And if the officials are picky, it'll change the dynamic of the game just there, because he's held all the time. It's unbelievable how often he's held. And when, you know, what we've seen in the past is when teams have, when they've let games be loose, then you see really no effectiveness from Dahl the whole time, because he's getting help the whole time. When they're more strict with the penalties and so on and so forth, we tend to see Donald breakthrough more. I'm serious. This is how we've seen things the last 2 years. Ever since his 20 sack season, that's been the case. Like, you have to watch the officiating, because officiating, as hit as much as I can say, changed the dynamic of the game as well. I'm looking also at what the Titans are doing at the running back position. They went and got Adrian Peterson. What about the rest of the running back core? Who are the names to watch?
So what the Titans have done for majority of the year, and obviously it's been one of the things where Derrick Henry gets almost all the touches whenever it comes to running the ball. They've used Jeremy McNichols primarily as their third down back, and they've said they're going with a more running back by committee approach. Even though he's not had a lot of practice time, I mean, today was his first day really out there on the field, I still expect Adrian Peterson to get a bulk of the carries whenever it comes to this Titans run game. They also went out and got Deontay Foreman. They signed him as a free agent this week. He was the guy who was with the Titans team last year, and he ran pretty hard, guy out of Texas, has spent some time with Atlanta during the offseason. Arthur Smith was the tie there, Titans former OC, but wasn't able to stick there. He's battled some injury issues, but other than Peterson, Foreman, and McNichols, I'm really not expecting to see anybody else. There's a chance that Dontrell Hilliard is called up and activated, but I would expect him to kind of be the last guy to possibly see out there. But McNichols is someone they've been using in the passing attack, and it's one of those things to where you go back and you look. I know Todd Downing, before coming and being the OC this year in Nashville, he's only had one stop as an offensive coordinator, and that was whenever he was with Oakland for a season. And one of the things he loved to do was he loved to get the running back the ball out of the backfield. So I expect to see a lot of drawn-up passes for Jeremy McNichols this game. He's a guy who's not a name value, but he has been solid, and he's really good in run block or in picking up a pass block. So it's one of those things that it remains to be seen, but if I had to guess, and if I was drawing up plays, I would definitely expect Jeremy to be highly involved in the pass game, but then whenever it comes to running the ball, they're probably going to try to get the ball to Peterson early and see what he still has left in the tank.
Well, how much do you think he does have left in the tank?
Well, you're looking at a guy who's 36 playing a position that does not favor running backs very well. I'll be honest. I was in Nashville last year whenever the Titans hosted the Lions and got to watch Stafford play there, and then I got to watch Adrian Peterson. And then it took me actually until a couple of hours after the Titans even signed him to realize Adrian played in that game. To where it was one of those things to where I'm not holding my breath. If I'm the Titans, I'm hopeful, but I really think that the run game's gonna. I mean, we know it's gonna take a step back. It's just how much of a step back. It's one of those things to where the one thing that has eluded Adrian in his career is getting a ring, and so he's on a team that even without Derek still has Super Bowl aspirations. They're fortunate that they were able to get that win in Indianapolis this past weekend because that separated them by 3 games, plus the tiebreaker for the division, which the AFC South, one of the worst in football. And so the Titans fortunately did the work for the first half of the season and have been able to establish a cushion to work with. And so it's one of those things with this Rams game. While I still expect them to be competitive and go out there, I think it's going to be a lot of just filling out their own team and seeing what they're going to have to do to adjust moving forward into the second half of the season. But at least for Adrian Peterson, I'm hopeful that he's able to go out there and perform well. But, I mean, we're talking about a 36-year-old running back. But if there's anyone else that you could have gotten off the street to replicate what Derek did, Adrian has done that before.
So let me kind of read between the lines here a little bit. You know, something else that you just kind of noted in there. Do you see this game as a measuring stick kind of game for the Titans? You just mentioned one of the weakest divisions in football. They did the heavy work here early. You know, is that how you view it, like in terms of this is where you really see how good this team is?
Prior to the Derrick Henry injury, I would absolutely say yes. But having to reassess what you're looking for on the offense after having the bulk of your offensive production go down remains to be seen. And that's where a lot of the questions come from. And I will say for people that don't typically follow the Titans, one of the things that is so weird about them, especially under their time with Mike Vrabel, they play so much better when they're the underdog. Right now in the year, the Titans are 4-0 as an underdog, but they struggled and they got beat by the Jets. Like it's just so weird. Now with the Jets game, they were missing some of their key guys, but you should still be able to beat that New York team when they played them, even without A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. And so no matter how much the odds are stacked against the Titans, whenever it feels like everything's just, all right, we're overlooking the Titans, we're going to write them off, this team comes through and performs well. They've done it time and time again. No one was really giving them much of a shot against the Bills. And they're like, all right, well, Kansas City's going to get it right. And then Titans ended up having one of the best games against the Chiefs in the Patrick Mahomes era, the worst performance by an Andy Reid coach team in KC for his tenure. So they just find ways to come through and perform when everyone's kind of said, you know what, this team, they've done well, but they've reached their peak. And so while this could be a game, there's probably two outcomes for this game. It's one, the Titans win an extremely close game, or somehow the Rams end up just putting it on them and that they win it like 31-14.
Well, in terms of how you're looking at this game, one of the key factors for me is the coaching matchup. And I'm quite familiar with Mike Vrabel from over the years. Maybe our listeners are. When you look at Mike Vrabel, how do you really get a gauge on the job he's done there and the job he continues to do?
Well, Titans fans in the early 2010s, I mean, you go back and you look at it, the team was not good. It was a struggle, and ever since Mike Vrabel's been there, the Titans have had a winning record every year, and they won the AFC South for the first time last year since 2008. So there are a lot of fans that they'll get frustrated at times, as any fan base does, but I think they do realize that the job that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel have done is light years better to what we had seen earlier in the past decade. And so they've built this team to where they're currently a contender. And I mean, before the Derrick Henry injury, I mean, and well, even right now, the Titans are number one in the AFC. So if the playoffs were to start today, Titans would have that first round bye. So I think you look at that and you realize, like, I mean, they've done a hell of a job. One of the things with Coach Vrabel is I don't necessarily view him as a great defensive mastermind by any chance. Like, you go back to his time as a DC in Houston, his defenses weren't putting up the best numbers, but as a head coach, he is great at being a player's coach. Like, the players love that guy. They love to play for him. And so it's well, I think the Rams players really enjoy playing for Sean McVay. It's not like, I mean, we know Sean McVay is the offense coordinator. He's the guy making all the calls. Like, he is the whiz kid whenever it comes to the offense. We're not exactly seeing that with Mike Vrabel, but the team responds to him, and he's taken on that CEO type approach. And while he doesn't use analytics like you see a lot of the younger coaches in the game do now, he has done a better job this year, I think, at making some of those key decisions in crunch time. And he's really starting to come into his own. And I think he's going to be the coach in Nashville for a very long time.
One of the things that's really impressed me about him is his overall mindset when it comes to coaching and just the fundamentals that he brings to the game. And we saw that. We've seen it wherever he was, even when he was at Ohio State. And I'm really curious as to how you view the matchup itself with McVay, the guy who we would consider, I was asked this last week, do we consider him a genius? I think no. I'd say more of a prodigy. 35 years old, still growing into it. But, I mean, a guy who has become quickly widely respected around the league versus a, you know, lunch pail kind of guy like a Mike Vrabel. How do you view his matchup itself?
I wouldn't necessarily put it as a matchup as like head coach versus head coach, because I mean, I guess if you wanted to get into comparisons, I would put it as a Sean McVay versus Shane Bowen, the defensive coordinator, just because Bowen has been given the full control of the defense this year, and we've seen them start to be better. Last year, they kind of had the duty split a little bit, and it really did lead to some, I guess, the lack of communication, I thought, from the coaches to the players really was lacking at times. And I think this year with Shane Bowen just taking over, the defense has responded better, and you started to see the matchups between, I guess, coaching staff start to come into play there. Whereas Vrabel's going to be there, but even though he is a defensive guy, I struggle to look at it as Mike Vrabel versus Sean McVay type of matchup.
Well, it's good to know. I didn't know that. So overall, I mean, looking at this matchup now, Sunday night, I'm in the lights in this brand new cathedral on the West Coast here on national TV. Care to make a prediction?
prediction, man. It's one of those things to where it's like there's the highs and lows of every week. I know we're kind of at the halfway point right now, and like the optimist in me wants to think that the Titans are going to come out there and prove a lot of people wrong. But I just right now, based off the injury report, I'm struggling to see it. I do think the Titans cover. I mean, they are 4-0 against the spread as an underdog. They're 4-0 outright as an underdog, and so I expect to see that they at least can cover the 8. Last I checked, was what the line was. But if I had to put it right now, I think the Rams are going to be able to. It's just so weird, man. And I apologize for kind of going off the topic, but I'm just so many different things going through my mind right now. And I do think that Ryan's going to have to be extremely efficient. A lot of people overlook Ryan Tannehill because of what happened with Adam Gase, which the fact that Adam Gase got to ride Peyton Manning's coattails and then coach two teams into irrelevancy is something in and of itself. But if Ryan is turnover free, which we've not seen him play like that this year very often, I think here's what I'll say. I'll give two predictions. You probably don't like this, but if Ryan Tannehill does not have a turnover, I'm going out on a limb, Titans 30. Rams 28. Ryan does not come through in that category. I still think the Rams are going to get to the 30 mark, but I'm going to say Rams 31, Titans 24.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because on my end, I view it as I think the Titans cover no matter what. This is going to be a close game in my view. But I still don't like the philosophy matchup. And given that, you know, like Von Miller is being brought in, to help stop the run, to really kind of plug that hole there. Being as though we don't even know he's going to play. We think he's going to play. If you get even just a mediocre running game with a continual ball control, the Titans overall are just too talented, and they'll do what the Cardinals did to them a few weeks back. And that in my view, would be a blowout. So in my view, I'm actually saying the Rams win this one close, or it's a Titans blowout. Because the match at the philosophies clash.
Gotcha. Well, here's the thing, and this is something we've been waiting to see for the Titans. The Titans have not had a second wide receiver step up. And while we know that A.J. Brown is a top 10 receiver in this league when healthy, I mean, he showed it last week. He had 10 catches for 155 yards and a touchdown. If they put Jalen Ramsey on him, I think that matchup is going to be a lot of fun to watch. And if I'm a defense coordinator and I don't put Jalen Ramsey on A.J. Brown, I feel like that's just an injustice for your team. But will the Titans have a second wide receiver step up? They've not been able to rely on Julio Jones to be healthy. And last year you guys had Josh Reynolds. It's so far looking as if that was a really bad signing on behalf of the Titans. Guy's not been able to produce at all. And so it's just, will Ryan Tannehill have other weapons he can go to? Because right now we've not really seen a lot of other guys be able to get separation and to make something happen. So it's one of those things to where if Jalen and AJ kind of have their thing going on, somebody else is going to have to step up at the other receiver position for the Titans. And I just don't know if someone's capable from a health standpoint, and then two, just a pure talent standpoint to be able to do that.
Gotcha. Well, hey, can you let people again know where they can find your work, podcasts and all?
Certainly. Yeah, Derek, you all can find me, do Believe in Titans. You can find that on all your main podcast channels and streaming services. I do that with former Titan Denard Walker, who actually started in the Super Bowl with the Titans whenever they faced the Rams back in, oh gosh, what would have been 2000 now. So do that with former Titan Denard Walker. Great guy. Really gives incredible insight whenever it comes to the defensive, like getting into the mind of a defensive coordinator. And then you can find me every weekday morning, 7 to 10 Eastern, Fox Sports Knoxville. Love talking about just all things Tennessee, including covering the SEC, NFL, just pretty much going around the wide world of sports. And Derek, I really do appreciate you having me on here, man. Yeah. And you can follow me on Twitter at @Davy_Hudson, @Davy_Hudson.
@Davy_Hudson. Got it. Thanks so much. And I hope we're having a brand new conversation come February for a Super Bowl. That would be fantastic.
We'd be fun to have a rematch there. Yeah.
It would be fantastic.
Back in the same place.
Well, you know, hey, that first Super Bowl game between the two teams, they play each other during the regular season. Titans won that game. All those years ago.
It's trip down memory lane. Yeah, it's But I would love for the Titans to get back there. The Titans versus Rams in a rematch, it would be fun for everyone. I mean, I know that hurts Titans fans, but the 1 yard short by Kevin Dyson, it still haunts the fan base, but maybe an opportunity for redemption.
Yeah, but in all due respect, I hope that doesn't happen. I hope the matchup happens.
Completely understand.
All right, well, have a great one. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Derek. Take care, man.
Yeah, take care. All right, there you go. You've heard my thoughts on it. I'm happy the Rams win. I'm hopeful that my analysis is wrong, by the way. I'm hoping it's a Rams blowout. Hoping that it's a game they control. The matchup, sometimes you just have a matchup that doesn't work for you. For years, the Dodgers didn't match up well with the Cardinals. It just didn't work out well for them. You know, get what I'm saying? This year, the Braves are a bad matchup for them. But do I believe the Dodgers are a more talented team? Absolutely. Sometimes things just don't work out. Rams, Titans, I believe the Rams are more talented than the Titans are. But the matchups, the way they play, it's sometimes a bad matchup. But you can overcome bad matchups. It's not a given that things aren't going to work in your favor. And I'm hopeful that as I make the trip out there this weekend to see this in person for once, that this is going to be a Rams win. All right, so moving on. Let's talk with Danny Williams from Mile High Sports. Oh, before we get into it, here's a word from our sponsors.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, folks, I'm here with Danny Williams from Mile High Sports on the air there from 9 to 11 a.m. I got to tell you, I have to love your Twitter profile, by the way, because you actually put who's fired you. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Again, it's like a lot of people are like, oh, formally up. I just put fired by, you know, all these other men. You know, my bio's not long enough, actually, but, you know, I have a journalism degree. You know, I would never tell a young college student these days to go get a journalism degree because I don't know, like, where it'll take you. I would tell people nowadays to get, like, a communications degree because, you know, I thought I'd be a beat writer for a team, and I did all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I ended up in radio now after a fledgling newspaper industry, you know, is kind of, you know, ran journalism or maybe changed journalism into kind of something else totally. But, yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, but don't even funnier, though. On your profile, you have, like, at Altitude 950. If you look at it,
yeah,
that account suspended. Like, you turn that okay, then maybe not.
You know, I would say, I made Altitude 950 what it is today. Out of business. You know, so it's like one of our little kind of jokes on the show that we have. But, yeah, man, it's... I'm a lucky guy to be like in this game. It's like I used to complain about going and covering Rockies games, you know, being in the dugout, you know, talking to the dead man until 3 o'clock for a 6:40 game and not leaving till midnight. You know, I mean, like people would kill for the job, and you take that stuff for granted when you got kids and stuff like that. So I've been lucky, you know, I'm lucky. And then I do, you know, do my radio thing here in Denver, I'll tell you, man, like, you know, when the Broncos are, when Peyton Manning's throwing 55 touchdowns for 5,500 yards and, you know, they're winning Super Bowls and Von Miller's strip sacking Savage and all that kind of stuff, you know, that's the glory days now a little bit to what the Broncos have kind of become in the last couple few years. But, you know, it's been, you know, kind of dramatic, kind of sad, kind of some people happy, a little, you know, you remember the good old times. There's like a Green Day song in there somewhere with Von Miller. And, you know, like I kind of was just telling you, it's not quite like a divorce. It's not a divorce. It's like, I don't know, like you're moving your oldest kid, I said, away to college, or I'm like giving my daughter away at the altar. It's like, you know, they gotta, you know, but like Von's a peacock, you know? I gotta let him soar, you know what I mean? And, like, the truth is, by the time, if and when, Derek, like, if and when the Broncos are ever good again, Von Miller won't be around for it. You know what I mean? So, yeah. You know, people say, oh, you should have taken Von Miller a couple years ago. Well, you know, the return would have been bigger. Well, you know, a couple years ago, they're drafting Drew Lock and they brought Case Keenum in, and he was a hot little prospect. They tried a Flacco experiment. You know, they thought they were going to win last year and the year before, you know, even really going into this year. They're 4-4 right now, but it feels like 2-6 in town. It really feels like 2-6. So, what else? What do you want to talk about?
Well, let's back up a little bit. Well, the first thing I really want to know is on the Denver end, how this trade even happened. Because, you know, for a couple years, we've been hearing whispers on our end about the Rams. You know, fans talk about it. Go get Von Miller. But
yeah,
I didn't think it was going to happen. But we heard the 2 years now we've been hearing it.
Yeah. You know, Von's been connected to a kind of couple few teams. So Rams, we've heard that too. Dallas, you know, that's kind of his hometown team a little bit. And, you know, Von Miller, maybe a top 15, you know, defensive player, top 20 defensive player in NFL history, kind of seemingly still in his prime. People very, you know, aware of what he's capable of doing in playoff and Super Bowl situations. You know, who kind of wouldn't want Von? Where I think it started was with Broncos somehow, some way traded for Kenny Young, a linebacker from your squad, who was like your third leading tackler. We were puzzled by that. We're thinking, well, what's this guy? You know, is he a jerk? Is this guy a bad teammate? Is this guy, you know, they got some, you know, stud up and coming dude, you know, who's they're eager to replace this guy with. I think maybe some conversations started there with the Broncos desperate for some linebacker help. And we spring this deal for Kenny Young, which you could tell me a little bit more about him. He seems to be a pretty good player. I bet at that time they asked, well, what do you think about Von? And the Broncos said, well, you know, we think we can win still. We're in it to win it, you know. We'll listen. But also, if the Broncos lose Von in free agency next year, they get a third-round compensatory pick. So, you know, any offer for Von's got to be at least better than that, you know. So I'm sure, like any good negotiation, there's a back and a forth. And I think really, like in a savvy way, George Payton, who's you know, a first-year general manager here, who kind of relieved Elway of a lot of those general manager duties, put together, we'll pay the rest of the contract, but you send us a second to go along with that third. And in my world, you know, I have to look at Jerry Jones' kind of value chart. In my world, a second and third, it's like a one. And I, you know, like a late one. And I bet you there's some general managers that you say, well, you take a late one or two, you know, or a second and a third. And I bet you there's some general managers who would take the second and third because, you know, the thought is you're getting two top 100 or two top 80 players as opposed to one. So, you know, the value, it worked for us. You know, that's what I would say kind of how it all went down. There's all kinds of crazy reports about, and, you know, maybe it's the next thing you might want to know is, you know, there's some reports here about a Halloween party that Von has annually or kind of helps organize. And this is like a six-figure blowout, a bash, where like Quavo, you know, from Migos, like, you know, like some of the hottest rapper dudes, you know, are at this party. He paid these guys to come and, you know, party with the Broncos and I'm sure perform a couple songs and do the whole thing. So Von, last week, after the Broncos were in the midst of a four-game losing streak, wanted to cancel the party. And You know, I don't know, like, any good leader, but any, you know, guy who's seeing, you know, maybe the twilight, maybe, you know, I think Bond's on, like, the 14th or 15th hole of his kind of career. He made a promise, almost a guarantee in the Browns game, which they lost, couldn't score any points in ugly fashion, 17-14. Mm-hmm. I think Vaughn was a little bit embarrassed by that. I think Vaughn's pride took a little bit of a hit, and Vaughn wanted to cancel his party. Well, a lot of the guys chipped in on the team for this party, six-figure party, Quavo there. You know, it's like an extravagant event that we know Vaughn puts on every single year, and it's a big deal. So some of the team did not want to cancel this party. They wanted to move forward with the party. They were financially invested in the party. Some guys didn't want to attend the party, therefore no longer chip in for the party, especially the guys who didn't want to party. So there was a little bit of rift. And Vaughn doesn't need that money. Vaughn's made a lot of money in his career. But, you know, I was telling my radio producer, you know, he can yell at me, man, get that FanDuel in, do this and that. You know, like I could be telling him, you know, grab this for me, grab this drop for me, do this or that for me, whatever. Like, we can be at each other, and at the end of the day, he's like my little brother, you know what I mean? And it's like, I couldn't imagine something coming in between us other than if I told him, hey, man, rough night on the FanDuel, man, can I borrow a couple $100? You know, What comes, like, in the way of guys other than money and maybe, like, women? And I'd say the women, we know with these guys, kind of how they operate, I'd say the women ain't even really, you know, isn't even really an issue with guys like this, you know? I mean, No one's, you know, I'm not saying guys aren't having affairs with wives and stuff, but other than that kind of, you know, that kind of stuff, money is like something that could be ugly, turn dudes and turn people really, really ugly, because some people, you know, money is a pride thing. What is it on Friday? You know, you play with my money, you play with my emotions, you know, isn't that big worm said that? So, like, you know, that there's that, and that is just that's just something that has been played out here in this last week. Okay. Also, I would say Vaughn's. I would say Von Miller. Broncos went to Von Miller and said, "Okay, Vaughn, we'd love to extend you." Von Miller was the AFC's defensive player of the month, the first month of the season. So Vaughn's not washed. Okay. But Vaughn, it's hard to do it on a team that, you know, where you're the focal point, you know, when Vaughn's playing with a bunch of other great players. I mean, you saw what the guy was capable of. He was a Super Bowl MVP. So I think Vaughn's going to be so tremendous there playing with the incredible talent that you guys have. But also, I bet you the Broncos went to Vaughn and said, okay, Vaughn, we want to do an extension. 2 years, $15 million bucks, we'll guarantee it all, 25, maybe $30 million bucks. And, you know, we want you to retire at Bronco. Vaughn's people are probably saying, well, he's the AFC's defensive player of the month. He's one of the greatest defensive players in the history of the league, still in his prime. We want a new four-year, $20 million per what he's making now, with 3 years of that guaranteed. And sometimes, like, you know, anyone who's ever done a deal with anybody, like, on anything, where it's like, hey, how much you need on that? And a guy says, like, a price. And you're so far off from the price, you just know, like, there's no chance. We'll never get this done. You know? So I think there's probably a little bit of that going on with the Broncos and Vaughn too. So I'd say a little bit of like a perfect storm led to them moving Vaughn. And, you know, if it wasn't for the second and the third and the way it went down with the paying, you know, we paid about $9 million bucks of Vaughn to the rest of, you know, Vaughn's salary for the year. I don't think if it's not a perfect storm, they don't move Vaughn. It had to be perfect, and it worked out.
Now, there's been some buzz on this end in today's presser and yesterday's presser about the potential for the Rams to re-sign Vaughn. And Hearing you talk about him wanting four-year deals, I don't see the Rams doing that. But the Rams gave up a second and a third for an expiring contract. That's also not like them, unless they think they can re-sign a guy. So do you think goes on there?
Well, I'm thinking that the Rams, when you're so close and you taste it like you guys were, you'll do anything to reach the mountaintop to get over the hump. I mean, it's like, I don't know where the Rams are getting these draft picks from. It seems like they trade everyone they have. But do you know what? I love it because there's something to going all in. There's something to going all in and chasing it and doing whatever it takes. And I really appreciate that. I love that about the Rams because, you know, Matt Stafford's not a spring chicken. Everyone might think there this is going to be a 3-4-5 year, you know, experiment. You can't live with a guy in his 30s. You know, how can you live your life, your NFL life, further than expecting him to be really good or great further than, like, 2 years out? You know, so I think they see a window of opportunity right now. You know, and when it comes to you know, to talk about re-signing Vaughn, I'd say Vaughn would consider re-signing with the Rams and taking a discount. Moreover, if you guys go win a Super Bowl this year, maybe less if, you know, the fit's not perfect and you guys lose in the divisional round to, I mean, who knows? The NFC is wild. It's, I mean, top heavy. There's, like, some great teams up top. And, you know, it's easy. You know, they got to really align the stars. It's hard to win Super Bowls and championships. I picked the Rams before the season started to win the Super Bowl. So, I don't, you know, I love Matt Stafford. I think he's underrated, underappreciated. I think he's been on a poop team for his entire career, and it's hard to shine. It's hard to shine when, again, a quarterback's everything. If you don't have one, like, you're nothing. You know what I mean? There's, like, six superstar quarterbacks in the league, seven maybe. And then there's, like, Herbert and a Burrow and about, you know, four or five other guys who you can maybe, you know, who might turn into franchise quarterbacks. That's like 10 guys. If you don't have one, I mean, you're going nowhere. Like, you're irrelevant. And, you know, I mean, like again, unless you get Derrick Henry. And even then, you know, even then. I mean, it's like a rare circumstance where it's not all about the quarterback, okay? So, you know, that's just kind of the truth. And I think the Rams are really good. I think you guys got something special going. You know, I didn't like when, you know, the Rams got away from it and started, you know, maybe one too many Chiefs with the Clay Matthews and the Talibs. And, you know, you're just trying to add superstar after superstar. It's something, too, you know, Mike, you know, a good house or a good building is built with brick and mortar. You know, you got to have glue guys. You got to have some, like, sticky guys. You got to have some gritty gutties, like JT the Brick says, you know. You got to have guys who are willing to do things that maybe the brick, the superstar guys, kind of aren't willing to do. And, you know, I'm an outsider looking in. It seems like you guys had a little bit of purge on the way back up, the buildup. Guys are very dangerous. Vaughn's a perfect fit there. You're going to see how special this guy is playing around another all-time great. You got a good one in Vaughn. He's not perfect. There's been a little bit of drama throughout the 10-year ride here, some highs and some lows. Marcus Ware came here, helped the Broncos win a Super Bowl after they lost the Super Bowl in very ugly fashion, and DeMarcus Ware wasn't the same DeMarcus Ware he was in Dallas for all those years, but he came in here and he made Vaughn a guy in Vaughn Miller who was getting hanging there maybe with the wrong dudes. Was letting that, I don't know if it's the marijuana get the best of him or what he was doing, but there was a time where Vaughn Miller paid the P-test guy, a P-test guy, the NFL's P-test guy. He tried to pay the P-test guy off. So, I mean, that's a low point for Vaughn Miller, man. Vaughn Miller and Alden Smith were, you know, two peas in a pod there for 1 minute, and look where those two guys, kind of directions of their career went. I give credit to Marcus Ware for turning Vaughn into, you know, one of the greatest players, again, to ever play the game defensively. And Vaughn was a young punk at the time, and not only was he dumb, I mean, geez, Luis, to offer the P-test guy to get him to say no, well, Vaughn must have been cheap, too, because, if, you know, you tell the P-test guy I'm going to give you $100,000 and, you know, send you to, you know, France for a month, or you tell the guy to give you $5,000, where do you think this guy's going to risk his $80,000 or $100,000 job to, you know, for Vaughn Miller? I mean, even Vaughn at the time, not only was he dumb, but he was cheap. And I'm kind of just kind of half being, you know, making a joke there. But Vaughn's come a long way in his journey from number two overall pick to expectations of, you know, the world on his shoulders to turn a franchise around to maybe being the guy to help land Peyton Manning here. Peyton Manning's the greatest free agent in the history of, you know, maybe professional sports. So, you know, man, it's like the butterfly effect. One thing kind of leads to another, but you're getting a Vaughn Miller who had more in the tank than DeMarcus Ware did when he came here and helped the Broncos win a world championship, Super Bowl 50, a very special Super Bowl. Vaughn's got more than that. Vaughn's going to do more than that. Vaughn's matured. Vaughn's a dad now. Vaughn's a priorities have changed. Bond, he's got self-awareness. He's got like a self kind of reflection. He gets his stature. He gets his importance to the locker room and to like his fans. He's very aware. You know, Vaughn talks about Derek. Should I stop talking for a second? You want to cut me off for a second?
No, I'm listening.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, sorry. I was just kind of rolling. Vaughn is, Vaughn understands, Vaughn's talked about being on the, the second half of his career now. DeMarcus Ware played a long time. Vaughn acknowledges the Bruce Smith and the Reggie White and the Lawrence Taylors, where these guys were some of the greatest of all time, not just because of the production, but the longevity and the production. Vaughn's workouts are legendary. His summer workouts are legendary. We know about Vaughn's pass rushing camp thing that's turned into a gigantic thing where any pass rusher in the NFL, maybe all of them, go to, this basically like the Peyton Manning quarterback camp stuff. He does it every year. It's a big deal. So Vaughn's not afraid to help others. He's never been greedy with that kind of stuff. Do you know where Vaughn was best? Vaughn was best when you had other leaders like Aqib Talib, other leaders like Peyton Manning, maybe the greatest leader of all time. Chris mm-hmm. Harris was such an awesome leader and a vocal leader for the Broncos here. Malik Jackson was a great leader for this team here. Derek Wolfe was. I mean, again, that Broncos defense is one of the 10 greatest ever. So Vaughn also is, likes to be led. He can be coached up. He's not the number one guy that's going to go speak on behalf of the defense of the team after a game, but he will do it. He has grown to do that more, and that's kind of it. That's Vaughn in a bit of a nutshell. We'll miss him. We miss him around here. But we get it. Broncos country, super smart fan base, emotional, but also a championship fan base. There's loser fan bases, and there's championship fan bases that are don't accept losing for very long. Put the pressure on again. Tim Tebow is literally the Messiah. They called upon him, and he delivered. This fan base, he delivered. He took a 1-4 team to the playoffs and beat the Steelers in one of the great upsets in playoff history. So, this fan base loves Vaughn, but knows that, it was time. It was time for Vaughn to ride off into the sunset a little bit, so to speak. And we wish Vaughn the best. Nobody here hopes Vaughn is washed and flames out and doesn't have success. If anything, Broncos country, which is, it's a proud brand. There's a lot of us. We'll be quasi Rams fans, or we'll adopt the Rams for the rest of the season.
Well, I hope you do. on my end, of course, I'm hoping he works out, and I'm curious as to what happens. Basically, right now he's a rental for 9 games, and I want him for more than that. I want it to be
run. I'll tell you if Your tune and your tone might change if you guys hoist Lombardi. If you win it, you might think, well, now we have to keep him. But also, once you win it, then everyone wants to get paid. Look what the Chiefs kind of are going through now. They win the Super Bowl. Every last guy gets paid. All the stars get new contracts. And right now, they kind of recapture and kind of find that magic. So, I'll tell you, man, it's... it looks like the Rams are, for the next 2 or 3 years, in my eyes, I'd say that's what the window is.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't win a Super Bowl in those 2 or 3 years, then, who do you blame? Do you blame McVay? I would say you can't blame anybody. They've got the right, franchise quarterbacks are hard to come by, impossible to obtain and hard to come by. You got one in Stafford. McVay's an incredible coach. I mean, he's the ideal young coach that every last, team is like yearning for, and you got great talent. So sometimes, again, it's about character. It's about lining the stars. It's about the football gods. I believe in the football gods. And I always say on the radio show, It's simple, but it's hard to win championships. It's hard to win championships. The Braves had a losing record at the All-Star break. You know, the Braves had a losing record at the All-Star break, one of two teams ever in the history of frickin' baseball to do it. They have two winning months, get hot, and go knock off the Brewers, who had a great season, and the Dodgers, who were seemingly kind of unbeatable. So it's about getting hot at the right time, but also having the right pieces to enable and allow you to kind of do so, to do that. And, man, I'll tell you, no one's got more going for them than the Rams right now, except for draft picks. They don't got none of those.
Yeah, well, they knew the risk, right? They knew the risk.
Oh, I mean, again, do you know what I would say? And then you know, let me go off whatever you need to do, and I'm happy to be here. A prospect is a suspect until proven otherwise, man. You know, if I'm a baseball team, my minor league system is only valuable to me if I could turn it into major league players. And draft picks here, for anyone who acts like, oh, my God, a draft pick, first-round draft pick, how can we move our first-round draft picks? I mean, find a team that drafts great. And I'll tell you, every other year in that first round, you get a good player, you get a bust, you get an average player, you get a pro bowler, you get a bust again, you get a good player, and that's what it is. We know it here in Broncos country. So while Vaughn, you know, we'll know who and what those picks turn into forever. But, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, on our end, the Broncos country's end, that the Broncos, with their first-round pick here, whether it's 12 or 10 or 8 or 13, we use one of those picks from Vaughn, maybe that second, maybe that third, move up to 7, move up to 6, get us a Herbert, get us a Josh Allen, and the rest is history. How else, you know, that's how you got to operate. That's how the football world works. So I'm hoping that Vaughn leaves us with a little magic inside of that pick and, you know, leaves us with a chance to kind of get right. And, you know, no harm, no foul. You don't care if the Broncos are good again. Maybe the Broncos in a couple few years can go get those Rams, you know, who might be trying to win their second or third Super Bowl here in a couple few years. So,
we're just trying to get our one right now, man.
I get it. And, you know, it's hard. It's really hard. I totally get it.
It's not easy.
But, you know, I don't know what the fan base, how your fan base is there, but, Dan Kroenke owns the Nuggets here. Okay, and man, you know, he owns the Avalanche here. Takes some heat, takes a little bit of heat sometimes. They're both good. The teams are both good right now. And he owns Arsenal, right? He owns Arsenal over there.
He does.
And in the Premier League, he's, you know, one of the most powerful men in sports. I'll tell you, he doesn't spin like he does in the Rams. He does not. He has other professional franchises that I love that are in this town that are good franchises. He's going all in, dude, and he's like, whatever the Rams want, he's been able to do, and he lets them do. And, you know, if you guys can't win, it's not for trying. Not really.
I mean, pretty much. I mean, that's the name of the game. You're just trying. You're trying to get there, and we're just hoping to get it done. All right, so, Dan, can you tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, man, I'm at Tweet Danny on Twitter. We do the Broncos Blitz podcast with, I don't know if anyone, Rams Country. Is it Rams Nation, Rams Country? What are you guys?
We're the Rams House, yo. Or the Ramily.
Rams House. Damn, I like that. Okay, that's cool. But yeah, at MileHighSports.com, you could watch the show every single day at MileHighSports.com, the radio show on a Twitch, a little TV screen we got. You can, you know, get podcasted versions of the shows, Mile High Sports app. It's 98.1 FM here in town, but your listeners aren't in town, but we'd love to have them check in on the show, and that's it, man. Especially if you want to, you know, hear the fallout and the aftermath of everything that's going on with Vaughn around here. You know, we don't know what life is like without Vaughn, because post Peyton, Vaughn has been truly, truly the face of this franchise. One of the funnest dudes in the NFL to really enjoy. One of the great characters in the NFL. All that kind of stuff. Again, it's never been perfect. There's been a couple little instances, some things, you know. There was alleged domestic thing that went down less than a year ago, maybe a couple years ago. Never got filed. It was with baby mama. I don't want to say, oh, man, baby mama drama. You know, that's it. Because, you know, that's not cool and it's not okay. We always say on this radio show, leave the domestic stuff at home. We don't care about it. But Vaughn didn't get charged. He's not in jail for it. I don't know if he's still with the mom. I don't know any of that stuff. I know he's a proud dad now. And, you know, that's a blip on the radar. No guy's perfect, tell you that.
I mean, but at this point, all we really care about is him being on the field.
Oh,
that's
sure.
all we care about.
I mean,
you know?
Again, no, of course, and he is. Vaughn's not a bad guy. Vaughn's a good guy. Vaughn's a good guy. Vaughn's a good man. Vaughn's a good football player. Vaughn's passionate about winning. Vaughn's got a lot of pride. Vaughn's not going to go there, and Vaughn's not going to not deliver for you guys. Derek, totally straight up, Vaughn is going to deliver for you guys. He's going to do it right away. And, you know, again, I'll leave by saying that the Rams win the Super Bowl this year. And,
wow.
And I need you to have me back on when they do so. Rams win the Super Bowl.
All right. You know what they do? We'll get you back on, I promise. So
right,
you can tell the world I told you so.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. All right. Well, thanks, James, so much. We really appreciate your time and have a great one.
Thanks, Derek. I appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, take care. Well, there you go. Thoughts from the Denver perspective on Von Miller. He had a lot to say. Just sat back and listened in. So there you go. There's our preview. There's our look at Von Miller. Hope you enjoyed the show. Follow us on Twitter at TalkRams. Follow me on Twitter at DC Apollo. Have a great one. And we're out of here.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.